Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, it's Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. Norm Borg from the studios at Rideau-Carlton Raceway. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, I used to love going to the racetrack every Saturday afternoon to watch the Preferreds race because you saw the same cast of characters every week. The rivalries intensified, and you could name all the horses before you even looked at the program, and this is really dating me, but back to the old days at Western Fair when you had the Preferreds consisting of Celerina, Key1 Zuno, Hallidale. Those were the names you went to see every week. That's missing from our sport now, but it doesn't have to be, and somebody who's trying to resurrect that, of course, is Jeff Gorrell. He is the president of Tioga and Vernon Downs. He is spearheading a movement to try and get the star horses of today racing well beyond their three-year-old seasons. Could you imagine a Sun Beach Shadow Play rivalry? Not going to happen now, but perhaps in the future. We'll talk to Jeff Gorrell, president of Tioga and Vernon Downs, along with Dennis Dowd, senior VP of racing at the Meadowlands. They're our guests, and that's straight ahead on Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. If you're like me and you grew up around this sport, you used to love going to the track to see the Preferreds race because week after week, it was the same cast of characters, the same rivalry. That sort of feeling, that sort of magic is missing from our game, but somebody who's trying to resurrect it is Jeff Gorrell, president of Tioga and Vernon Downs, spearheading an effort to try and have horses, the stars of today, race beyond age three. Jeff, welcome to the program. How is this movement going?
Well, if I had more time, I think I could get it done. Unfortunately, I have a real business to run, and it's not easy running a business today. But I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get at least some of the tracks to agree to put a condition in their future stakes races beginning in 2013 that in order to be eligible, the stallion or father of the horse has to be 5 years old at the time of when the horse is conceived, unless there's a medical waiver.
You hear from people like the Ray Schnitkers and some of the breeding executives who complain that this plan is not consistent with the industry model. What's your response to that?
I think the industry model is taking us towards extinction. So if people want to stick to a model that I think most people outside the industry who are, you know, just would analyze it, would tell you that harness racing will disappear over the next 15 or 20 years. So, you know, when I was out in Las Vegas recently at the HTA convention, they had some outside speakers, you know, not part of the industry. And to a man, every one of them said the sport's not going to be around.
How many tracks are on board here, Jeff?
Everybody's waiting to see what the Meadowlands is going to do. I think if the Meadowlands leads the way, that there'll be a bunch of other tracks that will join. But the Meadowlands is the key.
I'm going to be talking to the Meadowlands, Dennis Dowd, in just a couple of minutes, and I know that he's very much on board. Is he looking at initiating this, say, in the coming year, in 2010?
No, what we would do, it would be for 2013, but essentially what that would do would be that any horse who is 3 years old this year, if they went to stud in next year, in 2010, their offspring wouldn't be able to race in stakes races in 2013. So we're not going to do it where people are going to get blindsided. The intent is to give people plenty of notice and to make it clear that this is something that's going to be down the road. Another thing, frankly, to be honest with you, I think this may happen without anybody doing this because I think that the breeding industry is going to take a big hit in this kind of an economy. We saw, you know, big declines last year, but the economy is far weaker now than it was last October or November. And I'm concerned as a breeder, I'm concerned because I own 30 or 40 mares. But I think one of the reasons that horses raced at 4 and 5, when, as you referred to, was the economics. And I think that I would be very surprised if someone's going to be able to syndicate a horse at the end of this year for big money anymore. I think those days are over, to be honest with you. I think, you know, and then the other thing that's working against us to a certain extent is that the risk in owning a claimer is so much less than in owning a yearling, and the purses are so good for those claimers, you know, that people may say, you know, I do have some money to invest, but I really don't want to take a chance with a yearling this year. I'll go buy a claimer and put him in next week for you know, a purse of $25,000. Why should I buy a trotter?
So, yeah, that could be a five-year construction project.
So you understand, I'm also trying to convince some of the racetracks that we should increase the purses for older horses.
Well, we certainly hope it works. I mean, speaking as a fan, as I said, you know, I look back to the days of the 60s and the Brett Hanovers and Nansemonts, the Niatrosses and Albatrosses, and then they had such a star power. It would be lovely to see that happen. We'll hope for the best anyway.
Hope for the best. I'm trying.
All right.
Appreciate that you called.
No problem. Jeff Gorrell, president of Tioga and Vernon Downs, thank you so much for this.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we've heard from Jeff Gorrell. Let's go down to the Big M and Dennis Dowd, who's a senior VP of racing at the Meadowlands. Dennis, we've heard from Jeff and how he seems to think he can overcome some of the issues that have been brought to the fore. You know, is this going to match with the industry model? As the operator of a racetrack, how do you see this sort of program going forward?
Well, I think first we have to recognize, we in the industry, that there are so many competing interests trying to bring harness racing back to where it was and where it should be, in my opinion. And those interests are the interests of the owners and trainers, the interests of the breeders, and the interests of the operators. And we have to recognize that fundamentally, if we don't have a sound and healthy and vibrant industry, each of us get hurt. So sacrifices have to be made all along the line. And one of the big ones, and I didn't hear what Jeff had to say, and we will probably repeat, but we've got to develop stars, and star power is what makes any sport viable. And if we want to be taken seriously as a sport, not just a gambling opportunity, which of course we are, we've got to develop stars. So I think track operators have an obligation to do something to keep horses racing once they've shown that charisma, some beach somewhere, do we cheat them? And going back into so many other horses, we've got to create an ability to keep them on the track and keep them racing.
Now, let me ask you, how is that going to jive, though? In the meantime, there's going to be a lot of pain, I would think, or perhaps the industry can mitigate some of that. What would be a good middle ground, for example? Like a Ray Schnitker says, look, you know, I race my horse at 4. He puts in a couple of bad steps. Suddenly, his stud fee drops in half.
I love Ray, and he's absolutely right. And based upon the system, the way it currently exists, he did the absolute right thing. If I had that horse, I would have done the exact same thing because there's no incentive for me not to.
Let's talk about the incentives then. What is it going to take for a Ray Schnitker or even, you know, a McGrath to say, you know what, let's keep this boy on the track another year?
Well, okay, let's think about that. And for one second, let's put Ray and McGrath aside and say, if horses race until they're 4, there's going to be another great horse. Maybe it's not going to be Dewey. Maybe it's not going to be some beach, but it'll be somebody else as horses start to stretch out in longevity. And that's good for the whole industry. You know, there's going to be horses are going to stand at stud. That's going to happen. And the ones who are going to stand are the ones that are good, solid horses. And if you put them as horses who are going to race at 4, maybe even 5, you're going to start breeding for longevity. You're going to start breeding horses that aren't going to be breakdowns. They're not going to be fragile. So for every horse that maybe is a glory at 3 and doesn't make it at 4, there's going to be another horse who maybe was okay at 2, was good at 3, and was great at 4. And people are going to want to breed to him. And he's a horse who has created a name, has created a following, and he's going to be a valuable stud. So you may be taking money out of one breeder's pocket, but you're certainly going to put it in another's. So the breeders as a group really aren't losing money. What's gaining money is you're saying to the public, you know, Tiger Woods didn't retire after his first major tournament, that he stayed on and invigorated golf.
Now, they're going to argue, though, Dennis, that, you know, Tiger Woods hasn't been standing at stud either, and if he loses a British Open, his stud fee's not going to go down. How do you jive with that? Because that's going to be the nagging question. You know, we know what kind of shape the industry's in. Nobody wants to lose an extra dollar at this point. So, I mean, I don't know. What's the message? Short-term pain for long-term? short-term gain?
Yeah, but it's not. It's truly not even short-term pain if you look at breeding as an industry. The fact that a stallion doesn't go to stud at three, there's going to be another one goes to stud at four. The money's going to be the same. It's just going to be distributed differently. There's been long-term gain pain with racetrack operators. I mean, I'm here in New Jersey. A Freehold, I was the president of Freehold back in the 90s. Early 90s, and we were averaging 4,000 people a day. Now they average a little over 1,000. This is obviously what we're doing isn't working. The Meadowlands used to have, God, on a Saturday night, we'd have 40,000 people back in the 80s. Now when we have 4,000, we're happy. 5,000 is a really good night. So clearly, we if we keep doing the same thing we're doing, we're not going to be talking about this business 10 years from now. This one thing isn't going to invigorate racing. But racetrack operators, I believe, have an obligation to say, hey, we write the conditions of our races, and we think that this is a good thing. So to some degree, we've got to stand up and do it.
Well, we'll hope that the same success occurs. We'll see what happens down the road, and I want to thank you for your time today.
No problem. I love to talk about horses.
Our thanks to our guests, Jeff Garrell, Dennis Stout, on this edition of Trot Radio. Be sure to join us later on in the week for our second of two weekly installments. It's Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada, a presentation of Standardbred Canada, produced by Board Communications.